out. Where there's been something hard happening or scary happening, and it ends and you feel like your whole body was tensed and you can just relax. I've had many of those, some of them very minor. I always think about it when we hike. We like to hike. And, you know, you're going uphill, and I don't know if anybody else who hikes does this, but you feel like the hill's never going to end, and I'm just looking for that place where it will be flat. And when I finally get to the place where it's flat, I feel like I can just breathe again and fly. I love that. I've also had times in my life, though, where it's been something scary, where we were once on a boat in the middle of the bay when a thunderstorm rolled in, pretty convinced I was going to die from a lightning strike. I have never been so happy to be on the dock again, right? I have driven through thunderstorms and snowstorms where I am white-knuckling it and praying the whole way and never so happy to see my garage, right, and be in my house again. There are those moments of hardship and tension and fear in our lives, and then there are the moments where we just get to breathe. Today is one of those days in the church. It's the day of Advent of peace. It's a day where we just get to breathe. Comfort, O comfort my people, says these words from Isaiah. Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel who are in exile. But Isaiah is saying, your time of exile is almost up. This rough walking, this tension, this hard thing in your life is almost over. So you will be able to breathe again. This is a promise of God. There will be peace. Hold on. God is telling the people of Israel that, and they need to hear it because they have been in exile. They have been taken from their homeland. Things have not been good for them. Now, this is chapter 40 in the book of Isaiah. The first 39 books of Isaiah, actually the first 39 chapters, I mean, are basically Isaiah saying to the people, yeah, you screwed up, right? He's saying, you're in exile, it's your own fault, you don't follow God, you don't listen to the things God does. And so Isaiah tells them for 39 chapters how it's their own fault. And, you know, that has a place in the church, too. It really does. Right? We need to hear sometimes that we're not doing it right. And if we listen to the words of God, we should be challenged about how we're living and about how we're treating one another. In the days of Isaiah, there was this really a very real notion that if you messed up, God would punish you. And this exile was a punishment from God. Some people still feel that way, I think, but I think about it more like, you know, God doesn't punish, but our actions punish us. We live with the consequences of what we do, and we put ourselves in exile, right? So whether it's us doing it to ourselves or somebody else who's done it to us, we end up in these hard places, these desert places, these places of exile. And God might ask us in those places, what'd you do to end up there? How in the world did you get in this situation? What are you doing? And I think that's okay, and it's good for us. Jesus is there to challenge us. But then, at the end of that, our God is always there to comfort us and to bring us peace and to say, I know you messed up. I know you didn't know what you were doing. And now I am still here, still your God, and I will make your path straight. These are words we need to hear. What are so many of us searching for? I think it's peace. I started thinking about all the things that people talk to me about as a pastor. And sometimes people will say things like, you know, Pastor, I wish I was just more happy. Or I could find more joy in life. And that's true. But over and above that, by far, people tell me, I just want peace. Whether it's in their own bodies, because their bodies are betraying them and they're having to have treatments and all kinds of things done to them, and they just want peace from the pain and the suffering and the treatment. Whether it's in their work, whether there's all kinds of stuff going around them and they're stressed out and people are doing things maybe that aren't very good or very Christian, I just want peace. I don't have to deal with truth is, as human beings, we'll look for it in all kinds of places. And we can find peace in lots of different places, and I don't think that's bad. I was listening this week, just trying to pay attention to what people, you know, said about peace. And so I went to the gym, and there was a woman at yoga who was like, "This is my one time a week that I don't have to think about anything else. I just walk out of here feeling so peaceful." Right? Like, she was finding it through that physical activity. That's great. I listened to another person who had a very painful knee problem. And he was like, "I've got to go get this taken care of, Pastor. But until then, I'm self-medicating so I can find peace." Basically, so we find different ways for peace in our lives, some healthier than others. And the truth is, those work until they don't. Right? Until we can't get to yoga that week. Until that drink, maybe we need one more and one more and one more. Until the person who we always had in our lives that seemed to bring us peace is in a bad mood too, and we can't find peace there, then where do we go? We go to our God. Because our God is always there and always whispering words of love and hope and peace. But for some reason, too often, I think we don't think we need it. Because we're self-sufficient and we'll be able to find peace on our own. I read this really interesting article this week. It was by a journalist. His name is Chris Arnaud. Maybe some of you know him. He's an avowed atheist. And he wrote this article entitled, "The People Who Challenged My Atheism Most Were Drug Addicts and Prostitutes." And he spent 3 years in the South Bronx photographing people and interviewing people who lived there in really, really hard situations. And he said, "I was convinced when I went there that these people would all be atheists like me, because if you're in such a hard situation, how in the world can you believe in God? Why would God do this to you?" But what he found was the exact opposite. So listen to what he writes. "Sarah, 15 years on the streets, wears a cross around her neck. Always. Michael, 30 years on the streets, carries a rosary in his pocket. Always. In any crack house, in the darkest buildings, empty of all furnishings, a worn Bible can be found laying flat amongst needles, caps, lighters, and crack pipes. In these last 3 years, out from behind my computers, I have been reminded that life is not rational, and that everyone makes mistakes, or in biblical terms, we are all sinners. On the streets, the addicts with their daily battles and proximity to death have come to understand this viscerally. Many successful people don't. Their sense of entitlement and emotional distance has numbed their understanding of our fallibility. Soon, I saw my atheism for what it is, an intellectual belief most accessible to those who have done well." I thought that was so interesting, right? When we're doing well, it's very easy to dismiss God. When we're doing well, it's very easy to say, "Oh, this is because of me," or type good and pat ourselves on the back. will make some of you uncomfortable, but do it anyway. So we don't get a moment sometimes just to breathe. And I want to take a moment to breathe today. And it's really interesting. Even in the church, we don't like silence. Like sometimes when I do the confession, to be honest, some of you are like, okay, how long is the pastor going to stand there without saying anything? Right? It feels like forever. If you time it, it's like 10 seconds. I swear to you, time it next time. But it feels like forever because we're not used to silence. We're not used to peace. But these are the moments that God comes to us and God speaks to us. If we don't take moments for silence and peace, God can't get through all that other noise in our heads sometimes. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you just to be. And I'm going to give you some silence. I'm also going to speak so you're not totally uncomfortable. But first, take a moment for silence. As you sit in the silence, I ask you to pay attention to your breath. And remember that every breath in and out is a gift from God. That every breath you take is an opportunity for love and an opportunity to speak words of kindness and peace to another. And as you sit, I want you to remember that no matter what you have done, no matter what has been done to you, no matter what rough place you might find yourself in, God is there. And God will lead you out of those rough places if you let God into a place of peace. Now hear these words from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.